From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Open lines this hour. I shall give you the numbers, those of you who don't have them yet, tattooed to your arm. And next hour, my co-author and worker in the light, a New York Times best-selling author, William Burns, joins us. Bill Burns, the day after Roswell. We'll talk a little bit about Worker in the Light, but most of the program tonight will be devoted to the life of former Philip Corso, the late Philip Corso. And Bill has some new notes about Corso as well. We'll talk about that on the program. Should be a great program. NASA has delayed the planned landing of the space shuttle Atlantis by at least a day after engineers spotted an object that may have accidentally flown out of its cargo bay. They're not sure. Landing had been scheduled for Wednesday morning, but a poor weather forecast and concerns that something crucial floated out of the craft prompted this delay. On the line with us now, Coast to Coast science advisor and head of the EnterpriseMission.com, Richard C. Hoagland. Richard, very strange moment up there in space.
Well, it's very strange because it doesn't really make a lot of sense. We've had now almost 200 shuttle missions. There have been things that have happened like this before, pieces of cloth, gloves, even tools float out of the payload bay, and they've never made a fuss like this. The more I look at this, the more I have this awful sinking feeling, George, that there's something else going on that we're not privy to, and this is a cover story.
Are these broken off tiles, maybe?
That's what one of the things I'm looking at, and I'm also looking at a possible return of the Atlantis shuttle to the space station in the next day or so.
Oh.
Because Wayne Hale, who is the program manager, was asked a question by Bill Harwood, CBS News, former colleague of mine, you know, about tile repair. And he says, well, we've got this one, this one, this one in the shuttle, and, oh, we've got one that we have on the space station. Now, why would you leave a critical repair kit on the space station?
Yeah, good.
Well, I think this is a reason to bring her back to the station. And I could speculate all night and make the next 4 hours magic, but I won't. I will be restrained. Just stay tuned.
You're like a horse locked up, ready to bolt loose. Now, they've looked at the bottom of the shuttle twice already, so they're going to do this a third time?
A third time, just with the cameras. Not going to take out the fancy gadget with the lasers and all the microsensors and all that. At least they don't think they'll have to do it. They'll be able to do it with the cameras, which can see anything that's a gash or a gap or something bigger than 3 inches. That tells me they think they're looking at tile. And then the question is, where did the tile come from? Did it fall off? In other words, there are a lot of mysteries around this, and I think that we also have to bring in, at this point, we're literally a few minutes away from the docking of the Soyuz spacecraft from Russia with the space station. I'm watching one of my screens here in the Enterprise Control Center, and I'm seeing the Soyuz approaching, the black and white view of the space station getting bigger and bigger. And on board, there is a very important person, one Anousheh Ansari, who is the first Iranian, George, in the middle of our big crisis with Iran.
Oh, she's also American, though.
We have an American-Iranian, but she's very proud of her heritage.
True.
And we're not quite sure about what her heritage is. She claims she's a liberal Muslim. Well, liberal Muslims can't spend weeks with all men in a space station. So I'm thinking we're looking maybe at a Persian history. She had the original Iranian flag on her patch, and the officials made her take it off. But it was on her patch before she was dubbed as the ambassador to space, taking the place of the Japanese businessman who a few weeks ago suddenly came down with some medical problem that forced him to not go on this mission and her to replace him. So with all this swirling around upstairs tonight, George, my antenna are really primed. I detect some other agenda, and all I can say is stay tuned.
Now, I've got to ask you, though. If you said we looked at the bottom of the shuttle twice already.
Yep.
They didn't see any tile problems, did they?
This was before what was called a hot fire test in the early dawn hours while I was listening to you on the show last night and
right.
Doing some work here. What they do before they come back is they excise all the control surfaces, the ailerons and the rudder and all that, and they also fire the jets. What they call hot fire, and that produces a lot of vibration. They think that this piece, whatever it is, may have come off during that vibrating mode when the engines were activated briefly, and you get these impulsive kicks that, you know, kind of reverberate through the entire ship.
How can they go back to the ISS if the Soyuz gets docked?
Ah, because once the Soyuz is docked and the three astronauts move inside, they'll then automatically move the Soyuz around to the other docking port, freeing up the Destiny Lab docking port for the shuttle to come back.
I thought they had some kind of protocol, though, that you will not have two vehicles docked at the same time.
In an emergency, the protocol goes out the window.
All right, very good. Richard, we'll be in touch with you.
Okay.
It's Richard C. Hoagland. And some other news, a panel of scientists strongly endorsed NASA's plans to return to the moon, saying in a report that lunar exploration will open the way toward broader studies of the Earth and the solar system. The scientists were asked to evaluate and give guidance to NASA's plans for robotic and human exploration of the moon over the next two decades. President Bush 2 years ago vowed to return astronauts to the moon and establish an extended presence there in preparation for exploring Mars. In Colorado, a woman was found dead in a suburban neighborhood after a rope was looped around her neck and she was dragged through the streets from a vehicle. The gruesome crime that left a trail of blood more than a mile long. I'm going to read you a story for a moment that also will probably upset some of you. As a matter of fact, it seems sometimes that more people get upset when they hear animal stories, sad animal stories, than human stories. But I want you to hear this story because the lowlife involved got 2 years in prison, and that doesn't happen very often. But here it goes. But if you are prone to not liking these kinds of stories because they really bother you, please don't listen to it for about 30 seconds. I do want to warn you. This is in Edwardsville, Illinois. A Metro East man there was ordered to spend 2 years in prison after admitting in court that he tore the head off a kitten in the wake of a fight with his live-in girlfriend. Now, I've never heard of anything like this. When it comes to animal abuse cases, according to a spokesperson for the Madison County State's Attorney's Office in Illinois, we don't get prison sentences all that time, so it's good to know when we do, they said. This individual, 21 years old, was to have had a preliminary hearing, and he finally decided to plead guilty. 2 years in prison, that's light, but I'm glad he got that. What is wrong with people? President Bush sought to blunt anti-Americanism across the Middle East, asserting that extremists are trying to justify their violence by falsely claiming the U.S. is waging war on Islam. He singled out Iran and Syria, sponsors of terrorism. Mr. Bush, in an address to the world leaders at the United Nations General Assembly, tried to advance his campaign for democracy in the Middle East against a backdrop of turmoil in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other nations that have embraced the very changes he seeks for the region. And Iran's nuclear activities are transparent, peaceful, and under the watchful eye of the United Nations inspectors, that according to the Iranian president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, taking the world stage at the UN General Assembly hours after President Bush. He also had some permanent members of the Security Council saying an apparent reference to us that we are using our power as a big nation to threat and coerce. He reiterated his nation's commitment to the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty as it faces accusations that it is seeking to develop atomic weapons. Muslims in Turkey, Iraq, and the Palestinian territories demanded that Pope Benedict XVI make a clear apology for his remarks on Islam instead of saying only that he was deeply sorry that Muslims had taken offense. Prime Minister of Malaysia, which chairs the world's biggest Muslim bloc, said the Pope's expression of regret was acceptable. In Turkey, protesters said the Pope must make full amends before a planned November trip that would see his papacy's first visit to a Muslim nation. And yesterday, of course, on this program, we had an exclusive interview with Hamid Mir, the Pakistani journalist who is talking to the new Al-Qaeda field commander in Afghanistan, talking about Muslims leaving the United States, specifically Washington and New York, in anticipation of a major terror attack that would rival 9/11. Well, today I was on the Glenn Beck program on CNN's Headline News talking about this very issue, and it's good to know that mainstream now is starting to pick some of this up. Yesterday, when I was talking with Paul Williams, the former FBI consultant and author of the book Dunces of Doomsday, he said, George, it's about time somebody in the media does something on this. And he, of course, was making reference to Coast to Coast. But it was good that Glenn Beck picked up on this story. As a matter of fact, he's going to have me on his national radio show tomorrow morning to talk about Hamid Mir. And we gave him Hamid's private phone number, and hopefully Glenn will be able to get him on. But I do want to run a little clip of our interview with Hamid last night. So many people have emailed me hearing it from the Glenn Beck show, the fact that we did the interview, and they did not have a chance to hear it on Coast to Coast. So we're going to play this for you right now before open lines.
Yes, actually, I met this Al-Qaeda field commander in Afghanistan. His name was Abu Dawood. And I met him 120 kilometers south of Kabul. There is a city of Ghazni. And I asked this question to him that you are talking about a new attack and much bigger attack than 9/11 again and again. So when are you planning to implement your plan? So he said that we can do it anytime, but he particularly said that we will target NATO forces in Afghanistan in coming few weeks, and they named the operation Ramadan operation. But when I called, asked him again and again that when are you going to organize new attacks inside America, so he said that you must listen to Osama bin Laden very carefully. He is talking about new attacks from last many months, and our brother Adnan is already there. So I asked him that who is Adnan? So he said that Adnan is an American citizen, and he has already smuggled very dangerous kind of material inside America from Mexican border. So I tried my best again and again to read his thinking, and I was also interested to know that when they are going to attack America again. But he was of the view that we can attack America from inside anytime. So whatever he said to me, I never underestimated him, because he was a very well-educated Afghani. He was speaking Arabic, English, the local language, and also he had a lot of information about different American cities. And there were some European Al-Qaeda fighters present in his group. They were not American, but one of them was German.
But that's one of the things they're saying, Hamid, that it looks like the names of, like, Mohammed Atta will not attack inside America. They'll be named David, Richard, or Peter, and that we won't know who they are.
Yes, I had a debate with him when he said that the Muslims in America must leave big cities of America like Washington and New York. So I said that why are you creating problems for your own Muslim brothers and sisters? So he said that we don't want them to target, but they leave America because the Americans are attacking us in Iraq and Afghanistan. So we have to retaliate in the same manner inside their own homes. So I said that why you are creating problems for them? They said because they are, the Muslims in America are like a human shield for the Americans. So I said, but if the Americans leave, if the Muslims leave America, then how can you attack America? Because you are also using the same human shield for your operations in America. So he said, no, this time we have a different plan. This time a person with the name of Muhammad Atta will not lead operation inside America. We our brothers have changed their names. They have Christian and Jewish names, and they have passports of different European countries, and maybe the next attack will be conducted by the people with the name of David, Richard, or Peter. So I think they have changed the strategy, and this time they will use some Al-Qaeda operators who have hidden their real identity, and they have Christian or Jewish names, and they don't have passports from Islamic countries. And he was repeating again and again the name of Adnan. I later on came to know that his full name is Adnan al-Shukri Juma. And he also told me, Abu Dawood told me that he met Adnan in 2004 in the eastern Afghanistan province of Khost. And he said that Adnan came there for getting some fresh instructions from Al-Qaeda leadership. So I can believe that maybe Adnan met some top Al-Qaeda leader in eastern Afghanistan. Maybe it was Osama bin Laden, because if Osama bin Laden is the person who is the mastermind of 9/11 attacks, so then I must believe that if someone in Al-Qaeda is planning for an attack bigger than 9/11, then the mastermind is again Osama bin Laden. And if Adnan visited eastern Afghanistan and got some instructions, he must have got these instructions from Osama bin Laden. So we should not underestimate these claims of Abu Daud, because we also heard these kind of threatening statements before 9/11. And unfortunately, before 9/11, these statements were not taken seriously.
So I believe Hamad Mir, the Pakistani journalist. What I'm not sure of is his source, and whether you can believe his sources, whether they're just feeding him smoke and mirrors, or whether there's really some credence to all of this. So during our open lines, I'm going to open up a special hotline, because I do want to find out from you whether you believe this or not, regardless of whether you believe in the conspiracy theories of 9/11 and everything else, because this thing just gets stranger and stranger, doesn't it? In Columbia, Missouri, one day after the FBI raided his home, an Islamic community leader and critic of the war in Iraq said that the agents told him they were interested in his links to a Michigan charity that was also being searched. So we'll just monitor that story in the days to come. In Thailand, there is a report that the army has overthrown the government there. We really don't know, because the prime minister of Thailand is in the United Nations here in New York. He says everything's still in control. Doesn't look that way on some of the pictures that I've seen. We'll see. And by the way, in a rather bizarre ruling that affects the marine industry, a judge in the U.S. District Court near Louisiana has ruled that it is trespassing for Americans to publicly boat, fish, or hunt on the Mississippi River and other navigable waters in the United States. And he is citing some strange law that basically says boating is illegal across most of the country. If you own a boat, I wouldn't stop going where you normally go. But another strange ruling in the United States. We'll be back in a moment, but here are the phone numbers for you. Open lines west of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721. The wildcard line is 818-501-4109. And special hotline for this hour only on this Hamid Mir Pakistani journalist story, whether you believe it or not, I'd like to get your reaction. That's 818-817-0021. All right, we'll take a few calls before the major break here, and then we'll come right back with open lines for the rest of the hour. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fine. This is Angel calling you from Yuma, Arizona.
Hi, Angel.
I got through finally after so many decades. Oh, my God. I tried to curb my enthusiasm right here.
It's all right.
Hey, look, right here in Yuma, you know, we got a big problem with illegal immigration.
Yes, sir.
Gangs and all that stuff. But the main problem that concerns me is this. It's a no-kidder. If a poor Mexican could get through, can you imagine a motivated terrorist?
You are so correct, and that's the biggest problem. You know, I live out here in Los Angeles and spent a great deal of time here. I go back between Los Angeles and St. Louis. I see what I'm sure are illegal immigrants working. I mean, because, you know, you can hear them. They don't speak English. And I just, you know, I don't want to stereotype, but, you know, my gut tells me that some of them are illegal. But I'm got to tell you, Angel, they're working their tails off.
Correct.
You know, it's 100 degrees out. They're on roofs. They're cutting grass. They're working their tails off. And you know, it's unfortunate that their ability to want a better life gets stymied because of what's going on with terrorism. But we have to close our borders, because you are absolutely correct. They are getting through. As a matter of fact, the individual that we're concerned about, who may have some kind of nuclear weapon in the United States, came through Mexico, they say.
Correct. And before, it used to be a problem. It's not that bad right now, because we got so much Border Patrol and the National Guard and all that stuff. But before you see people walking down the road and you know that we're coming here illegally.
We just got to be careful. Angel, thanks for that already. That was the fastest half hour in the history of broadcasting. I'll be back in a moment. We'll have open lines for the rest of this hour. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. And condolences again to the family of the crocodile hunter as they all paid their respects in Australia for Steve Irwin today. And the Hamid Mir hotline, I don't know what else to call it, 818-817-0021. Open lines continue on Coast to Coast AM. You ever feel like time is just whisking you away and you just can't stop it, you can't control it, you can't slow it down, and it just keeps getting faster and faster? That's the way I feel tonight. It's the way I felt this entire year. I can't believe we're in mid-September already. And it just is unbelievable. Let's go to the Hamid Mir hotline to check in on whether you think this story has any credence or not. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. Thanks for opening the question for dialogue.
You're welcome.
I happen to think that the story is true. I took a deep breath recently, and I just thought over the whole situation since 9-1-1. And if you think about it, Bin Laden and what he accomplished was absolutely brilliant. You had a country that had won the Cold War and felt extremely powerful, and you exposed it as completely naked, a $400 billion annual defense expenditure, and 19 men on four airplanes in 2 hours brought it to a halt. You had a country that did not and swore against preemptive war, and now it's what we're about, and we're locked in policing a civil war. And you had a country that was running a budget surplus and is now, in good economic times, at 4.8% unemployment, borrowing $9,000 a second.
Oh, my gosh. And even if you believe the conspiracy end of 9/11, the system collapsed. I mean, somebody had to organize it one way or another, whether it was just Bin Laden or a bigger group involved with him. Who knows what right now at this point? But the whole system collapsed. Our system collapsed. And that's why I'm concerned about Hamid Mir and what his sources are telling him, because I'm not so sure we have truly fixed everything.
George, you're absolutely right. And the part that disturbs me the most is we can all feel the left hook coming. We know it's going to come. It's going to come suddenly. And the part that disturbs me was after 9-1-1, if you'll recall, we mobilized, we gathered together. But what the president told us to do, if you'll recall, was keep on spending money. Where are the war bonds? Where is the mobilization? And where is the activation of the citizenry to find the sleepers? The borders are completely naked. That's the problem, and that's where I think history is going to judge us harshly.
Thanks for your comments. Appreciate you being on Coast to Coast. Next up, east of the Rockies. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello, George.
Yes, sir. Where are you?
I'm pushing barges on the Illinois River.
Are you?
Just north of St. Louis. I spoke to you a couple months
yes,
ago.
Yes, I remember that. Sure, we talked about barges and things like that.
Yes, sir. I had to comment on that. That judge has obviously lost his mind in Louisiana.
Oh, but barring anybody from having boating and fishing trips down the Mississippi and other causeways?
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, this is a very low-profile industry until something, you know, a bad accident happens. But, you know, just for example, coal, we transport 20% of America's coal on these waterways, you know. All the power plants, you know, easy access to you know, have waterborne transportation. Like I said, the first thing I thought is has that fella lost his mind or what?
Probably has. You know, it's okay, I guess. The ruling doesn't affect the commercial end of it. But, you know, he's basically saying it is illegal for boaters to navigate in those waters. And you can't fish. And, I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Oh, no, none at all. None at all. I agree with your previous caller. I think everybody's becoming complacent again.
Yeah, I think so. Now, whereabouts on the Illinois River are you?
I'm just north of, just south of Florence, Illinois, about 50 miles from the confluence to the Mississippi at Grafton.
And now how fast are you tooling along?
Oh, a whopping 5.4 miles an hour.
All right. Thanks for the call. Call me by tomorrow. You'll probably be about 40 or 50 more miles upstream there. Let's go next to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Hello. Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Dave from Fort Rucker, Alabama.
Hi, Dave. Go ahead.
All right. I got a question. Well, first of all, good job on CNN. But
thanks.
The Iranian woman from Texas, that's the first female space tourist that mm-hmm. Went up with the Russians. Do you think she will witness, any ET craft? And, Buzz Aldrin or Armstrong, they're said to have, along with even a contemporary astronauts. And do you think, along with future private space tours, that the truth about ETs is, on the horizon?
Gosh, David, I hope it is. Bill Burns, and we're going to talk with him in just a few minutes. He is also, not only is he my co-author and worker in The Light, and we're going to talk about the life of Philip Corso, he's also the publisher of UFO Magazine. And, there are some things Bill can and cannot say, and he and I have talked privately about certain other things, but I think he will tell you that he believes disclosure is getting very, very close. And I'm going to try to squeeze out of him some of the things I know. I don't know how much he's going to be able to talk about that end of it. But it's pretty remarkable. I would hope we will learn more information about that. As far as the astronauts aboard the International Space Station, I don't know what they see, David. I don't know what they see. And I don't know what they are going to tell us whenever they come back down to Earth. And, Buzz Aldrin has talked about UFOs, and he kind of backtracked on the program a few months ago. There's no question that Edgar Mitchell believes in extraterrestrial life, Apollo 14 astronaut. He's been on the program, but will freely admit that he never really saw anything. And Gordon Cooper. Late Gordon Cooper claims that he saw a series of UFOs when he was a fighter pilot and a test pilot. I believe it. I believe there is something out there in terms of disclosure. We're going to try to talk with Bill Burns a little bit about that during the program, and we'll see what he says. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Wild Card Line, you're on the air with us. Hello there. Hello.
Hello. Hello?
Yes. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi. This is Julian. I'm driving through L.A.
Hi, Julian.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I tried so long to get through. I was wondering if you really existed.
Well, but, you know what? Even in L.A., because of the traffic, you could have been on hold for 4 hours. You probably would have been in the same spot you were in when you made the call.
Only in the daytime. At nighttime, it's a little bit better.
Yeah, it is. That's true.
What I wanted to talk about was I don't believe that Ahmed Mir
mm-hmm.
is on the level, and for two reasons.
All right.
One, if he's using his real name, they're going to come and get. And two, if he actually asked the terrorist repeatedly, when is the big day, don't you think the terrorist would become a bit suspicious? And once they hear him on KFI, he doesn't have a chance. And I believe they do listen to American radio to find out what we think we know, and particularly to a show like yours, because you give us a lot of information that we can't get anywhere else.
Oh, they do. Julia, you're right. They do listen. I think for some reason, now this is my take on Hamid Mir, I think these people, the Al-Qaedas, they like him. They like him. They trust him. And they feed him information that they want. I, for a couple months, really had to wrestle with whether I thought Hamid was merely a stooge or, was just playing the role. I think he's a legitimate reporter. He's a journalist, and he's got his sources. But I think they're using him. There's no question about that, to get information out. If they said, be careful, September 28th, we're going to do something, I don't think they'd give him the real date. But for some reason, they are working with terror. They're trying to scare us. And that is what creates the confusion over whether it's real or not.
Yeah, I can see your point. Either that or he's a double agent of some kind. Just a little aside, I wanted to tell you that on the first-time caller line.
Yes.
It's 501-4721, and I tried forever to get through on that and never could. But 501, I'm a sixth life path, and I was born in 47, and my mom was born in 21. So I don't know why I couldn't get through on that line, but I'm glad I finally did get through.
Okay. All right, you drive carefully through Los Angeles, and Tom tells me that Glenn Beck's CNN headline news people have gotten back to them, and they are going to be videotaping live to tape Hamid Mir in Pakistan tomorrow, thanks to our staffs arranging this with them. And so I assume he'll be on Glenn Beck's CNN show tomorrow, and you'll be able to see Mr. Mir and make up again more of your own mind. It is a truly remarkable story. And I wish that our intelligence sources would be talking to him, not me, not Glenn Beck. Let's go on to some other callers. Let's go to our West of the Rockies line. Welcome to Coast, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, how are you tonight?
Good, sir. Thank you.
Oh, I disagree with what you had said about, you know, feeling sorry for the illegal workers working out in the hot sun and everything.
Well, I don't feel sorry for them working out in the hot sun. I'm simply saying they work their tails off in the hot sun. I mean, they're hard workers. There's no you can't deny that. You know, the fact is they're illegal, and you know they shouldn't be into this country. But I am sympathetic to the fact that they want to have a better living. But you know, my point was is that they're hard workers, and you have to admit that.
Yeah, but what they're doing is they're taking jobs away from hard workers that are waiting in line to come to this country legally. They're also taking jobs away from hard workers that are working here legally using, you know, for real IDs and stuff. I feel sorry that anyone anywhere in the world has to work hard out in the hot sun and all this and, you know, along those lines, but these guys are illegal, and they're taking work away, and they're hurting the country.
I don't know how much work they're taking away, because the old argument is that people don't want to do what they do.
Oh,
but,
no.
But the point is that they are illegal. They are breaking the law, and that is what we have to stop.
Yeah, they have to get in line and stop taking jobs away from people that are in line.
I don't know why they just don't get in line to try to become legal.
It's wrong. They should all go back orderly and come across orderly, and that would solve the whole thing.
Well, I'm not so sure we'd open up that quota that to 12 million people. You know, our immigration numbers are dramatically lower every year. It's a bad situation. Nobody's done anything about it yet, at all, except Pat Buchanan saying what he's saying, and he seems to be drumming up more support than either of the two major political parties. Let's go to our wild card line. It's your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hey.
Hey, this is Roz in Minnesota.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, this terrorist thing. You know, I don't understand what's wrong with people on this planet. We're mostly crazy. And the craziest ones are the leaders, I guess. But why doesn't anybody talk to each other? You know, why don't they sit down and talk? I've gone on the internet. I've tried looking up why everybody hates each other, you know, Muslims and I can't find any information. The Americans, you know, put out lies and they put out lies and the Jewish people put out lies. I went to the UN site and I couldn't find anything there. I mean, it's just crazy. There's no truth anymore. Everybody's lying. Everybody hates each other. I mean,
yeah, that's a dangerous situation, Roz.
It's just crazy. We're destroying the planet. We're going to Mars, and there's people starving. You know, women are paying $20,000 for new boobs. I'm thinking, if you can buy new boobs for $20,000, there should be food on everybody's plate.
$20,000.
Well, I guess I haven't checked the price of boobs lately, but it's just, I don't understand. What the hell? What's going on?
Well, look, the one thing that you said that was very pointed is people aren't talking. And still, nobody asks the question, why is there so much hate on this planet? And what can we do to try to solve it? And, you know, you cannot keep killing. You know, I hear some of these other talk shows during the daytime, and you cannot annihilate the entire planet to eliminate this. There's got to be a different way to go about it. And I have always been a believer that if people are so, well, people are killing themselves because they believe their life is so destitute. They don't have any hope. They have no way out. So instead, they turn to their faith, as fanatical as it becomes, and they believe in that. And we've got to change this planet for the better. We're not going to eliminate everything, but we at least have to start. And they've got to start it in the schools and the families and everything else around this entire planet. And this is one of the biggest problems of the United Nations. It is not doing what it's supposed to do to get this planet together. I agree with you on that, Roz. I mean, we're headed for disaster. And that's why I've always said, create your own island. Care about the people you're with, the ones you love, your family, and make your life, for as long as you have it, as good as you can. Because if you, at this point, try to be concerned about every problem on this planet, you're going to go crazy because you can't solve it. But maybe collectively, eventually, good will win out over evil. And at least I hope so, because we are going down the wrong way on this roller coaster of life. Let's go to the Hamid Muir hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing? This is Brian from Sacramento.
Hi.
Hey, I believe there is some deceit with this, and I'll tell you the reason why I think that.
Sure.
I'm not necessarily saying it's not going to happen, but I don't think it's going to happen where they're saying it's happened. And the reason I believe it is Muslims have no value for their own life, obviously, with the terrorist attacks and what they're doing in Iraq and elsewhere. Why would they even warn the Muslims in that area what they're going to do? You know, I believe it's kind of a wool over the eyes. We're going to be on the East Coast looking for something. And next thing you know, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Sacramento, Seattle. You know what I mean? One of these places are going to be one that goes up in smoke.
Well, I would know that if I were involved in anything the cagey like that, I wouldn't be publicizing it to the world.
Yeah.
You know, and you're right. If you're going to go left, you really want to go right.
Exactly. That's why I kind of think I think the guy is coming out, but I think it's not what we think it is. You know what I mean? And I think we're going to be in for a big surprise.
I believe him. I'm not so sure about his sources, whether they're using him or not.
Right. All right, George, thank you.
Okay, appreciate it. I mean, we've all had sources in our industry and for years, and the question has always been, can you believe the sources? And Hamid Muir is a source for Coast to Coast, and I believe him. The question is can you believe his sources? And it goes on and on like that. I think we have time for one more quick call. Hi there, go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes, George. My name's Albert. I had Morgellons disease. I've tried so hard to get...
Oh, gosh, Albert. You still have it?
No, I got rid of it. That's what I tried to... But I isolated what causes it, and I've tried so hard to get through to Dr. Imir in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Because he isolated that it had a plant DNA. What causes it? Is a plant animal entity called a hydra. It is a freshwater polyp, about an eighth of an inch long. The only way to describe it is it looks like a little mop.
How did you get it, though?
I was one of them older guy, beep-beep drivers guys, you know, and I have no idea. I believe driving through the mountains.
How'd you get rid of it?
I used a drug from a doctor in L.A. actually got it for me. It was for larva migrant disease. Larva migrant. That's where you get eggs in your skin and they go through your...
Oh, and you sure you had Morgellons disease?
I'm positive. I saw it on Polazon, and I have been trying to get through to you guys ever since. The entity is called a hydra, and it's a plant-animal organism.
All right, well, let's follow up on that. That's news to me. We'll check with the folks who are doing some of the Morgellons research and see if they've heard about this. Thanks for the call. We're going to be back. Bill Burns is next on Coast to Coast AM.